Because it happens all the time. Just because someone has credentials doesn't mean they're honest. And I have seen Arthur Andersen, the multi-bazillion dollar auditing company, crumbled overnight because their auditors were required by the leadership to fudge the truth. And they thought they could cover their tracks, and the whole thing collapsed overnight. Multi-billion dollar international worldwide auditing firm evaporated. Because they would not stand and say, no, I am not going to fudge the numbers. I am going to report the truth, and you can fire me if you want, but I'm not going to change what's real. Because I work as unto the Lord and not unto men. He might say, you'll never get that promotion. He might not even say it. He just might imply it because he doesn't want to get in trouble. He doesn't want to say, well, you know, he forced me to lie. He just might imply it. You know, that subtle read between the lines message. You ever, boss ever talk to you like that? Oh, yeah. I remember I used to have a lightning bolt earring in this ear. And my boss came in one day. Oh, it was cool. Other than the fact that I kept catching it on the pillow at night. Man, I feel like I ripped my ear out. Ouch. But my boss came in the doorway one day, and he saw that lightning bolt earring in my ear in the office, and he never had to say a word. He looked at me, and I knew that the next day I better come in without that earring. He was that kind of guy. You know, he could just stand there and look at you, and you could read between the lines as big as day. Oh, yes, sir, I will take that out tomorrow. You got it. But maybe your boss tells you to read between the lines, and he doesn't actually tell you to lie, but he implies very strongly that that thing better look good, and you know the only way to do it is to lie about it. And if he implies that you're not going to get that promotion or that increase or that position you wanted or that title you've been waiting for year after year after year, unless you fudge that thing, you better know in your heart we ought to obey God rather than men. And there is no other option. And God is faithful and will honor your faithfulness to him, either in this life or in the next. Maybe your friends are telling you that you ought to drink and carry on and get high and do dope and stuff at the local party, because only whacked out Christian fanatics who are repressed and mentally unbalanced abstain from the simple pleasures of life that God intended them to have. I mean, you know, I used to use that argument for myself. God created marijuana. You know, I ought to smoke it. God, I was stupid back in the day. Yeah, God created hemlock too. You know, I ought to take that while I'm at it. God grew pot, man. He intended us for us to, you know, get high every day. You know, he created the grapes of the vine so that we could, you know, drink and, you know, and blah, 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 blah. As I was, you know, just self-destructing day by day by day, further and further and further. And when your friends bring that pressure on you and they tell you you're whacked out or you're weird or you're stupid, I don't care what age you are. I mean, I know it happens a lot in school, but even adults face that kind of pressure. Absolutely, we face that kind of pressure. When you guys go to your Christmas parties and join you with your families and they're partying and carrying on, and that pressure is there, just a little bit of wine, it's just a mixed drink. Hey, you know, don't be a party poop. Nobody wants to be a party poop. I mean, man, I do anything but be a party poop. Man, if I was a bank robber, I could say, yeah, man, I used to rob banks before the Lord got a hold of me. I can say anything, you know, my testimony. Boy, I actually murdered somebody once. But God forbid I was a party poop. Man, that's the ultimate American sin. Man, you're a wet blanket. Come on, man. You're ruining everybody's good time. We could be having fun if it wasn't for you. You're not even doing anything. You're just making them feel guilty, you know? And how can you party when you're making me feel so guilty? You stupid Christian do-good whatever. You know what I mean? Pressure, man. I mean, they may not say that, but, you know, just like your boss, it's the read between the eyes look. It's like, yeah. No, no thanks. I don't do that anymore, you know, since I got saved. Yeah, right. You know? Amen? We ought to obey God rather than men. You are not. Listen, man, when you're standing there in that moment, all of heaven is watching. Ephesians says that he wants to demonstrate his wisdom through the church to the heavenly host in, or the host in the heavenly places. All of heaven is watching you. There are angels watching you, bearing witness, angels and demons. And all of heaven is watching you as you stand in that valley of decision. And they're watching to see, are you going to honor and glorify God? Are you going to cave? Whether you're being pressured to violate your sexual integrity or your ethical integrity or any other matter of conscience, whether it's by manipulation or intimidation or just plain well-meaning friends who just don't understand, you've got to decide once and for all, we ought to what?
Obey
God rather than men. Praise God. So where do you get the courage to follow through on that? If you know that, if you say, okay, amen, that's for me, write it on my heart. Where do you get the courage in that moment to act on that? Say it again.
From the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, that's a good answer. Where else? Anybody else? Holy Spirit? Everybody agree? Holy Spirit? What's that? Good answer. That's your final answer? Okay. I would say it's definitely one of them. Definitely one of them. And in fact, if we had the overhead, what you would see is principle number two. Principle one is we ought to obey God rather than men. Principle number two, God gives the... Jenny?
Holy Spirit.
Praise God. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. As Peter said right after he declared the gospel to the council, he said to them in verse 32, we are His witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who... obey Him. Praise God. When the apostles took the step of obedience and they began to preach Jesus to the people and declare His name, the Holy Spirit bore witness by performing signs and wonders. Peter said, the Holy Spirit is our witness. We're over here obeying God, and the Holy Spirit is confirming His word by doing signs and wonders. They stepped out. They obeyed God. The Holy Spirit came along. Now, we may say, God, if You give me boldness, I'll witness for You. You make me bold, Lord. You make me courageous, and I'll get out there and witness. And God may be saying to you, hey, you go out and witness for me, and I'll make you bold. You're like, God, make me bold. I'll witness. And He's like, no, you go witness. I'll make you bold. Oh. Amen? Oh, God, I'll go out on the street. I'll talk to everybody on the street corner if You make me bold. God's like, all right, go. I'll make you bold. But go. In other words, if we demonstrate our faith that is latent in our heart, if we demonstrate that by taking that first step of obedience, everybody say obedience. Then the Holy Spirit will come alongside and strengthen us and empower us and strengthen our testimony with boldness. He will give the gifts of the Spirit with power when we take that step of faith, which is called obedience. Praise God. I'm not talking about works. But you know, the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. John 15, 26, Jesus said, when the Helper comes, the guy that we want to help us to be bold and strengthen our testimony. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. Now that word, the Helper, in the Greek is a word, paraclete or parakletos. And He's not talking about the little green bird you buy in Walmart. It's a parakeet. You know, the Holy Spirit's more like the form of a dove, you know, when He came upon Jesus. He wasn't a dove, but He was in the form of a dove, not a parakeet. Those birds are annoying sometimes. Nothing against parakeets. If you love parakeets, man, you know, nothing against that, but man. Anyway, the Greek word for the helper, yeah, paraclete or parakletos, and it means literally one who comes alongside to help. Now, He doesn't come alongside to help if we're sitting on our butts in rebellion and disobedience and no faith. He doesn't come alongside to help until we get our butt off the couch and be obedient and take that step of faith. And then He comes along and says, yes, brother, that's what I was waiting for. Let me give you some strength. Praise God. Now, Peter said, you know, we're his witnesses and so is the Holy Spirit that God gives to those who obey him. In one sense, he's talking about salvation. Obviously, when we take the step of obedience and receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, he gives us who? Holy Spirit. Praise God. So when we obey the gospel and we put our faith in Christ, he does. He gives us the Holy Spirit. But it's more than just some one-time incident. It is a walk of faith. And this applies from start to finish throughout our life. That God gives increase of power and increase of presence and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to those who will walk by faith and do by faith the things God calls us to do. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about in that moment of decision where we are faced with standing for God or caving into the world, if we will take the step of obedience and say, yes, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to stand and speak or stand and act. When we do that, we will find that he infuses us with boldness and strength. The hardest part of sharing the gospel on the street is opening your mouth. Once you've opened your mouth, man, the words will flow. It's convincing yourself to open that stupid thing and make it move up and down, and the tongue flap inside of it is the hard part. Once you come to somebody and you start talking to them, hey, there's a $1 million question on the back of this track. Do you believe you'll go to heaven when you die? After that, everything just falls right out. You'll find yourself saying things you won't believe. But before that is that moment of decision, and you have icy terror. What if he gets mad? What if he doesn't like me when I ask him this question? But if you will open your mouth with that first step of obedience, the Holy Spirit will come alongside and he will help and he will give strength because God gives the Holy Spirit to those who do what? Obey him. Praise God. So, once Peter did that, he gave his answer to the council. He said those words. They decided they wanted to kill him. It's just the reaction you were afraid of. Uh-oh. But a highly respected Pharisee, he's a guy, he was a rabbi. In fact, he has the title not only rabbi. In Scripture, he's given the title Rabban. That means he is like ultimate rabbi. He's uber, thank you. I was wondering what that prefer. Uber rabbi. The uber rabbi, Gamaliel, or however you say his name, stands up. Gamaliel, yeah. Stands up. And he has the apostles put out of the chamber temporarily. And he says to these guys, hey, look, you know, before we kill these guys, I mean, the maids worked hard to get this place clean last night. I'd hate to see, you know, blood all over the floor and guts and bones and stuff. Before we do this, if you could read further, this is what he's saying. Look, he says, look, this isn't the first time something like this happened. We've had people rise up before. We had this guy Theudas. We had this other guy Judas. And they rose up and people followed them. And you know what? They were killed and slaughtered. And, you know, it came to nothing. So before we do something that might cause the people to, you know, like stone us or revolt against us, let's just think for a minute. If this is of men, it will come to nothing. But it's of God. We better not fight against her. We might find ourselves fighting against God. And so they agreed with that. Now, that's not actually true. It's true that he said that. But there's all kinds of ungodly stuff from the pit of hell that flourishes in this world that you wish would go away, you wish would come to nothing, and right now they're still flourishing, like communism and Nazism and, you know, all these cults and all these different things. So everything in the Bible, you know, actually happened. It's true that he said that, but it wasn't necessarily truth that he was saying. He was kind of a passive guy. He just didn't want to rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat over. And so, I'm dating myself. Okay, brother. I was going through a very traumatic time in my teen years when that song was a hit. That's why I remember, you know, it just slipped out, you know. If I start, you know, getting a twitch in my head or something, you'll know what it's about. He didn't want to rock the boat, so that's the answer he gave, probably by the grace of God. And he said, okay, we're not gonna come against this thing. So they brought the apostles back in. They said, you're in luck, guys. We're not going to come against it. We are going to beat you. Which they did. They beat them, and they commanded that they better not preach and teach in this guy's name anymore. They strictly commanded them before. This time they really strictly commanded them, you better not teach in this man's name. And they beat him, and then they let him go.